Well, good evening to each and every one. Looking forward to tonight. Song of Solomon, please. The book of Song of Solomon, if you are able to turn there. Song of Solomon. And we're going to start reading in chapter number 4 this evening. My wife and I were able to sneak away, do something I've always wanted to do. I love history, and I've never been to Philadelphia. So I know to most of you, probably like, yeah, who cares, right? But we got to do that, and I got to go there and see Independence Hall and things, and just saw a lot of history. Didn't really find the brotherly love, but I found the history. I guess if that's somewhere, you can tell me where that's at later. But I've yet to find that. But we had a great time, and just want to say thank you to the church, and the pastor, this family, for the hospitality, and just for the privilege. It is a privilege to preach the Word of God, and it's a privilege to serve the Lord, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. So let's read our text this evening in Song of Solomon, and this is, the book of Song of Solomon. I grew up in church, didn't hear a whole lot of preaching out of Song of Solomon. And then after I've been pastor for a couple of years, I love preaching through books of the Bible. And I enjoy it. I love going verse by verse because if there's something wrong in our churches today, it is a lack of Bible knowledge. And we know every preacher's pet peeves and, their hobby horses, but that won't get us through life. We need to know the Scriptures. And I had only been pastor a few weeks, really, and another pastor called and gave me his outline for Sunday. He said, "It's pretty good." I said, "That is pretty good." And then he said this, "I just got to find the text to go with it." And it really just hit me, and for real, God used that moment to really make me rethink. And, I thought, how our preaching needs to come from the Word of God. And it needs to be what the Lord says. And so a few years after becoming pastor, Lord led me to, and I preached through the book of Song of Solomon. What a wonderful book this is. If you're not familiar with the book of Song of Solomon, I want to encourage you to study it. It is the greatest song that was ever written. That's what the Bible says. I mean, look at verse number 1 in chapter number 1. It says, "The Song of Songs." The Lord Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? Amen? That means of every king, there's none like the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, good, all right? So in this is the Song of Songs. So every song that has ever been written, this is it. You ever thought about that? There has to be a pretty powerful message in this song. And there's a whole book of Psalms. There's a lot of good Psalms, but this right here is the song of all songs. So it really grabbed my attention, so I began to study it. And, I'll give you my Travis Burke commentary for what that's worth. Not a whole lot. As we read it, and I want to give this to you before I preach through this real quick tonight, that, of course, there's the Shulamite woman in this passage of Scripture. And I want us to think in line, because I think the reality in this book, it teaches the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has for us. I believe that it is also teaching in this book a picture of the love that Jesus has for his church. And so I think you can see this. And so as we look at this, I want you to keep this and everything in light of this, that I believe the Shulamite lady is a picture of us, members of our church. The beloved, obviously, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to the daughters of Jerusalem, I believe that they are a picture of the world. I believe they're a picture of those who try to pull away you and I from our love for the Lord. You understand this, that James talks about this, that we allow ourselves to become friends with the world. We allow ourselves to fall in love with the world, and you can. Then it is spiritual adultery. James says. And the daughters of Jerusalem are constantly trying to pull her away from her love that she has for the beloved. There's also a king in this passage, which I do not believe that the king is the same person as the beloved, because the king tries to lure her love. But the king, and what's different between him and the beloved, is that he starts out saying nice things to win her affection, but then you'll notice that the king throughout the book becomes very carnal in his words. He offers wealth and riches and all that a king can offer, which the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't motivate us to serve him by offering us riches and treasures. There are things far greater than that, the reason why we serve the Lord. And I'll tell you why we should serve the Lord, because you love him.
Amen.
You know why you love him? When you realize how much he loves you. And so you have the king trying to persuade her and get her love as well. And there's a lot more to this, but I love this book. The daughters of Jerusalem are trying to pull her away. The king becomes very carnal towards the end of this book. And if you want to glance ahead, I just love the ending. Look in chapter number 8 real quick. And in verse number 4, she speaks to the daughters of Jerusalem and says, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor wake my love until he please." They're trying to start something within her that was not meant to be started. And her love, she's holding herself and keeping herself for her beloved. And things are almost at their worst when all of a sudden it just totally changes gears in verse number 5. "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved?" She goes from being in a time of great trial and tribulation to all of a sudden, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye,
Amen.
She is with her beloved. Are you following me?
Amen.
We as God's churches need to be faithful. And this world's not going to get any better. These last days are perilous times. But my friend, any day now, and I believe that, it could be any day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be caught up to meet our Lord. And we will be with our beloved forevermore. Amen? Now, a lot of people can interpret all these things, and you go with what your pastor says. But tonight, I want you to see just a principle here in Song of Solomon in chapter number 4. And we're going to start reading in verse 16. And I'm going to read all of chapter number 5 as well. So if you're physically able, can you stand with me as we read our scriptures? If you're not, I know the Lord understands that. But let's read this in Song of Solomon in chapter 4 and in verse number 16. And just follow along. Try to give you a few thoughts as we're reading. In chapter 4 and verse number 16, this lady speaks. She says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." Chapter 5, the beloved speaks. "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, ye drink abundantly, O beloved." Verse number 2. Now the Shulamite speaks again, the lady. "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels removed for him. I rose up to open my beloved to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love." Now the daughters of Jerusalem speak, "What is thy beloved more than any other beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than any other beloved that thou dost so charge us?" So she answers this question, "My beloved is white and ruddy and chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. In chapter 6, the daughters answer her, "Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?" She answers, "My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look at your word. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would teach us something tonight, that he would instruct us, and God, that you'd put a hedge about this place. God, I pray with all my heart that, again, I would be hidden, your word would be lifted up. God, I pray that, Lord, what we need tonight, we would get. And I know the Holy Spirit will speak. I pray we'd have a listening ear and an open heart. I pray, God, that you bless this church. I thank you for this church. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, just to please do a mighty work continually. And we love you. And in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. Now let's go back. And I want to, again, and we read a lengthy passage there, but you kind of get the story. In chapter number 5, the bridegroom, the beloved, comes, and he says, I'm coming. I am coming. And praise the Lord, we too have been told by the Lord Jesus Christ, he is coming. Amen. That could be tonight, and I mean that. Amen. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, do not delay. I encourage you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you settle that right now. I would not wait till the end of this service. If you need to, I would come find pastor or someone and speak to them right now. Because I believe truly we're getting to those days where we are ready for the Lord's return. And I want to encourage you to get that settled. And the beloved said that he is coming, and he has this invitation. And then he comes and he knocks on the door. He knocks on the door, but the lady does not answer the door. She knows that he's there. And when he calls out to her, finally, as she's sitting there, the Bible says that her bowels were moved for him. She all of a sudden realized just who he is and that he's right there. So she gets up. But when by the time that she gets to the door, there in verse number 6, she opens the door, but he's gone. He's not there now. She goes out into the town looking for him. Some bad, rough things happened to her. And unfortunately, I believe in this chapter, you see a commentary of a lot of churches today. And we're going to focus it down to us as believers tonight. When it comes to missions, everyone in this church has an obligation before the Lord. To make and do our best to take the gospel all across this world. As a member of this church, you're being asked to pray about what God would have you to do in this area of missions. As a church, what God will have you to do, and possibly, and I promise, as long as the word of God continually is preached from these pulpit, that there will be others who God will call to go to the mission field. Amen. He will knock. He will want to speak, I promise, to you tonight. But unfortunately, the commentary of way too many people tonight is there in verse number 6. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. Now here's why. Again, keep in mind the entire picture. She's already her beloved's, and beloved is mine, she said. This is not in no way. She didn't lose a salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. Amen. But like it or not, it's just a fact. That we can respond like her many times and miss the presence of God in our life like it should be. And the power of God in our life as it should be. And here is why she gives her own reason of why this happened. My soul failed when he spake. My soul failed when he spake. He came, he knocked on the door, he called for her, but his beloved. But her soul failed when he spake. There may be someone here tonight, a young man, maybe an older man, it doesn't matter, that maybe God will knock on your heart's door tonight and call you to go to some field. But if we say no, no, we put it off, we say no, we stay in our seat, we do not surrender to God, you have failed when he spoke. I hope you're praying about what God would have you to do in the area of missions. If you will listen, God will speak to you this week. Unless your soul fails when he spoke. And we're going to look at this passage, why this happened. And the same reason why she missed it is the same reason why a lot of Christians miss that too. And look at it real quick. I will not take long tonight. Number one, the first reason why she, her soul failed when he spoke is because, number one, of a semi-consciousness. A semi-consciousness. Look in verse number two. She said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love. She said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. You ever been there before? Every husband has. Right? Yeah, you're allowed to laugh every once in a while, right? Yeah, right? Twice today, I caught myself. We were driving to Philadelphia. My wife was talking. She said, what do you think? And it hit me. I have no idea what she just said, right? I was thinking about what was going on in church. I was thinking about tonight. You know, and I said, can you tell me that again? You know, yeah, all right. This time I'll listen, right? I mean, I was there, but I wasn't there. And sadly, a lot of Christians live their life that way in church. They're half there. I mean, they're sitting there, and they're sitting in a service, and their eyes are open, and their Bible is open, but their mind is somewhere else. Their thoughts are somewhere else. And I know that is a danger for every one of us. But my friends, every time the Word of God is open, God wants to speak to you. Amen. God has a message for every one of us tonight. And if we leave this place tonight having not heard from God, it was not that God failed. And it was not that the Holy Spirit failed. His Word will not return void. It's that we were... Heart was here, but we were just kind of dozing. She was half in and half out. I mean, this is nothing new. The Bible talks about in the New Testament, Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Jesus said in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I knock, and I know that verse is used a lot for salvation, but in context, it's more talking to the believer here. The Lord is knocking. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants us to enjoy a walk with Him and to hear His voice and for us to cry out to Him and enjoy a relationship with Him and a fellowship. Amen. And He's knocking tonight. There may be some who he's going to knock on your door tonight to surrender your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you and God know that tonight. And God will call your name. He wants you to come to him. Don't sleep through that. She was there halfway. Don't sit in a pew and half listen and half not. Don't be thinking about everything else going on. I know there's a lot going on. We're all busy. I'm sure there's things that need to be done tonight. But for this moment of time, would you stop? And even in your heart right now, pray and say, God, speak to me tonight. God, show me what you will have me and my family to do this year in missions. And God, if you want me to go, I'm listening. But listen, she was semi-conscious. Her second problem is this. She was sort of complacent. She was sort of complacent. Kind of preached on this a little bit last night. Look in verse number 3. Again, verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved. Then in verse number 3, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Her first problem was this here when I say she was somewhat complacent. She had gotten comfortable. She had taken off her coat. She no doubt was in her relaxing clothes for the evening. And the thought of having to get back up and put her coat back on, is it worth it? I mean, she said it right there in the verse. She said, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? And a lot of us, unfortunately, and people sitting in God's houses all over the country, we have just gotten so comfortable. We're all in our comfort zone that we think someone else is going to go on the mission field. Someone else will go and tell the lost. Someone else, I'll put something in the offering, but you know, don't ask me to do anything else. Well, maybe God is stirring your heart, young man. Maybe God is stirring your heart to quit your job. To sell these earthly possessions that we are holding on to and go and follow the Lord's will. Now, if that's what God wants, that is the greatest life.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. And definitely don't say to yourself tonight, well, I got a good thing going here, right? Got a job, my house, a couple cars. There's nothing wrong with any of those things unless God doesn't want you to do that. But we love our comfort. We love not to have to be stirred. And let's just face it, the typical Christian today is extremely soft and spoiled.
That's true. Yeah. That's right.
This church, I know of you. I've gotten to know you more in the last 10 years. And obviously we have a good relationship. And you know, I follow everything that goes on around here and praise the Lord for it. But this church has the same danger that my church has. And one of those great dangers that your church and my church has is this, that, you know, you have two extremely handsome pastors. Now, that's good, all right?
Amen.
Amen, brother, right? Yeah, all right. But here's the danger, ready? And I tell my church this all the time. We have inherited a lot. We've buried a couple of men in the last 10 years that built the auditorium we were in. When there were 20 people in our little white building down the road where we started, and three times a week they went out knocking on doors because they just wanted to see God build a work. And God has built a work. To God be the glory for it.
Amen.
But I haven't had to build an auditorium. Our people, we have a decent number that comes every week. The great majority of the folks that when I became the pastor in 2004, they were straight on doctrine, which is a compliment to the pastors before me.
Mm-hmm.
You sitting in here, Brother Hammett, became the pastor of this church. He didn't have to correct the doctrine in this church.
Amen.
There's a great group of people here.
Amen.
And you're still here and you're faithful. And you got a lot of young families, just like we have at our church. And that's exciting. Bunch of little kids running around. It's awesome.
Amen.
But these kids are going to grow up. This is just what they've always had. And if we're not careful, we just get to sitting back and enjoying all the blessings.
You're right, brother.
And we lose the zeal and the drive to do the work of God. Because we get comfortable. I face that danger.
It's very true.
And you face that danger.
Yeah.
We are very blessed what God's given us in our churches. But understand, it didn't just happen. And mark my words, if we don't fight for it, and we don't continually train, and we don't continually stop and make sure this next generation understands where it comes from in this book, it can be lost quickly too. There were in Cincinnati some tremendous churches. Mm-hmm. Names that I could tell you of pastors that pastored there that were just, I mean, I still read their books and praise God for them.
Amen.
But things are not what they used to be. Well, that could never happen here. That could never happen at Kazadale. Sure it could.
Right.
Whenever we decide, I mean, all you have to do is look at David. David was a man who fought for what he had. God used him. He defeated many enemies. And Israel became what it did. But Solomon inherited it all. And Solomon faced some dangers. He got used to the blessings. And then his son took it a step farther. It doesn't take long. So don't get too comfortable. She said, I've already taken my coat off. Preacher, I don't. Let someone else go. Someone else can give. Well, maybe God wants you to. She was too comfortable, and then secondly, she was too careless. She was too careless. So where do you see that? I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Now, I know they didn't live in houses like we did, but at the same time, when they went in the house, they washed their feet. Why? Because walking around the roads outside the house, they got pretty filthy. That's true. But she's not walking around outside to answer the door. Y'all staring at me like that's weird. She's inside, so she's not going on dirt roads. Follow me, all right? So why is she so concerned with her feet getting filthy? Well, obviously, she's not kept the house like she should. Right? She knew that if she got up and walked to the door, it would defile her feet. And there's a lot of people and a lot of Christians that they're afraid that God's going to call them because they know there's some things in their life that they would have to clean up. And there's some things in their life that they would probably have to change. And there's some things in their life, listen, if that's the case, my friend, change them immediately. If there are things in your life that are hindering you from being whatever God wants you to be, then change those things quickly tonight.
Amen.
Repent of those sins. Turn from those sins. Those weights, those hindrances, get rid of them. But obviously she had just gotten used to it. She was living in it. She knew the danger of it and what it would do. But she didn't fix it. And I ask you to contemplate that tonight. How about you? Are there things in your life too that if God said, hey, I want you to go. Hey, I want you to give this. Well, that would cost me. I'd have to change. I couldn't go to this place anymore. I couldn't watch these things anymore. Well, then run from those things.
Amen.
She had become little semi-conscious. She was sort of complacent. Number three, she had too much self-concern. Notice there in the next verse. Verse 4, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. So I rose up to open to my beloved. Now she gets up, and we may stop and think, whoa, this is good. She's getting up to answer the door, but at some point between her decision to get up and by the time that she opens the door, she stopped. My grandma always said it this way. She's from the hills of Kentucky. She dutied up. I don't know if you know what that term means. Apparently not, all right? All right? The duty up means she fixed her hair, she put on her perfume. You say, how do you know that? Well, I rose up to open my door, and my hands dropped with myrrh. my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Now, if that had been on for quite a while, it wouldn't be dripping on the lock of the door. But she stopped to get herself spruced up for him. And at first you may think, well, that's good. But listen to what I'm about to say, all right? He is not interested in your perfume. He's interested in you.
Amen.
And a lot of Christians think they need to impress God. You cannot impress our God.
Amen.
A lot of people think I need to do something to make him love me more. He loved you before you were lovable.
Amen.
And there's nothing you can do to make him love you more or nothing to make him love you less. He loves you. And a lot of Christians make themselves miserable trying to earn God's love.
Right.
He loves you. I love in the Old Testament when Moses says, why hath God loved you? Talking to the people of Israel. Why hath God loved you? And in his answer, because he hath loved you.
Amen.
You know why God loves you? Because he chose to love you. It's not what you have done. It's because of who he is. That's why he loves you tonight. And a lot of Christians are miserable thinking, well, I wonder if God loves me. I'll bust your bubble. He does. What can I do to get him to love me more? He already loves you. He'll always love you.
Amen.
But she stopped and thought, well, I need to put this on or that on or do whatever it is. And a lot of us sometimes we think, well, I can't go out there and do that work. You know, I'm not like brother so-and-so. I don't have the knowledge of brother so-and-so. Or I'll never be a man like that missionary is. Listen, if God called you, then you're just right for what he wants you to do.
Amen.
That doesn't mean we keep growing and we should keep growing and keep learning. But if God called you, listen, I had to settle with this a long time ago, all right? I am not the pastor down the road. And that pastor is very thankful for that, right? I am not Brother Hammond. He's not me. But God didn't call me to pastor this church. God called me to pastor the church where I'm at. So I would never have, you know, I've been just amazed in watching in the dialogue I've had in the conversation with Brother Kuzel, who you all know. Even when that accident happened, the next day we were talking together, and his faith, he cried, he wept, and he said, if God gets the glory out of this, I'm willing.
Amen.
You may look today and say, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that either. But God called him to go there. And don't be afraid and think you need to impress other people or try to impress God in order to be usable. If God called you, then go. If God, whatever God wants you to do, then do. But unfortunately, a lot of people, I promise, now stay with me, God's going to knock on doors this week. He will speak to you. Some will not hear because of semi-consciousness. They're just not in. Some will not hear because they're sort of complacent. Some will not hear because of their self-concern. But can I just finish this passage real quick? She does get up. And I think what you see in the remainder of this chapter is a really good commentary of what's going on in our churches today. She comes and she opens the door. Verse number 6. But he wasn't there. She said, my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. I don't know about you, but I want to be, and I'm thankful I am, a member of a church where God is working. Amen. We had a 70-year-old man that we had been visiting in his household, sharing the gospel with. He listened, but he would not make a decision. He came to church this past Sunday. He said in the service, towards the end of the service, he walked forward and he bowed his head and accepted Christ as his Savior. At 70 years old. I'm thankful that God is still working through our church. I'm thankful that souls are being saved, that families are being restored, that we are able to raise children for the glory of the Lord. I'm thankful we're able to start some churches and send some men out. To God be the glory for every bit of it. Great things he had done.
Amen.
But unfortunately, in a lot of churches today, there is no power of God working. Churches are dying. You are blessed to be where you are tonight. A lot of churches are closing their doors, not having evening services because no one shows up. Never going and soul winning, never seeing souls saved. Some churches have planted flowers in their baptistry. They pray and seemingly think nothing's going to happen. And God's power, He wants to work through His churches. He wants to do great things through this church. And He will. Unless you fail to answer. If our hearts get so hard that there's no more surrender, there's no more power of God, there's no more presence of God. So you know what she did? What she decides to go looking for Him. In verse number six, I sought Him. I called Him. He gave me no answer. Verse 7, the watchman that went about the city found me. You know where she went looking for Him? Out in the city. Out in the world. Again, I told you, it's a commentary of what's going on in 2019. You know what churches are doing? Because the power of God is not working in the services, because the presence of God is not real in their lives, because there's no one surrendering, no one getting saved, they try to bring in and go out into the world looking for whatever they're missing. And so they have to compromise. That's why there's rock concerts going on. I just mentioned a little bit ago. There were some wonderful churches in Cincinnati. One of them, you know, I thank the Lord, our church came out of that line. They started churches all over Cincinnati, and we are one of those church plants. But that church today, no longer Baptist. That church today, the pastor has a perm all the way down to his belt. And I hate it. I hate it. I hate what the devil's done there. When you walk in their church, in the building, you'll find little places for have drinks, and they all sit out there and they sit at tables, and then they come in here into their auditorium, and it's a light show, and there's people singing the devil's music. In a church that 40, 50 years ago, we'd all been proud to be a member of that church. Yep. What happened? They quit listening. Good. They were just too comfortable. They were just too busy. They just had their life going on. So now you have to turn to the world. Now you have to bring in what they have. And you know what that does to the Lord's bride? Just what it did to her. And there in verse number 7, they found me. They smote me. They wounded me. They took my veil from me. You know what the world does to the Lord's churches? He robs them of their purity. You know what the world does to the Lord's churches? It wounds the Lord's churches. It scars the Lord's churches. It is God's will that this church be presented to the Lord one day without blemish, without spot, a chaste virgin before the Lord. That's what God's desire for you is. Amen. But if we go out there looking for Him, the world will have its way with us. It will leave us hurt and wounded. Well, then those daughters of Jerusalem come up and she goes to them. And in verse number eight, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Now, that doesn't mean we use that terminology a lot. You know, I'm sick of that, right? That's not what it's talking about. She was hurting. She just desired. She was sick because she wanted and wanted to be in that relationship and share that love. If you see him, please. And I love their response in verse number 9. The daughters of Jerusalem say, what is thy beloved more than any other beloved? Ah, now that will make me want to preach for 30 minutes more, right?
Amen.
What makes him better than anyone else? Well, he's fairer than the fairest. He is the greatest friend you'll ever have. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my counselor. He's my rock. He is my wisdom. He is my strength. He is my comforter. He is my love. If we stopped and said tonight everything that God is to us and the Lord Jesus is, we'd be here all night and we'd never come close to giving him the glory he deserves. Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
And I love when she gets down to the end, she talks, and by the way, she shares things that you only know by having spent time with him. And by the time she gets down, she says there in verse number 16, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. Amen. This is my beloved and this is my friend. And look at me real quick. By the time she got done sharing all she knew about her beloved, it created in the daughters of Jerusalem a desire to meet him too. In chapter 6, verse 1, whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside that we may seek him with thee? Let me ask you a question, church. How much does your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and what you have to say about him and what you have to share about him, how much does it create a desire in a lost world to want to seek him too?
That's good.
You know, when lost people spend enough time with us, there ought to be something that they want what you have.
Amen.
They ought to see something there that they're missing. They ought to know a joy that you have that they want in their life too. And by the time she got done describing how much and who he was and what he is to her, they said, we want to meet him too. Oh, boy, if we all had that, we'd change our community. We'd change our world. She says in verse number 2, my beloved has gone down into his garden to the bed of spices to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. So how about you? I trust that most everyone here claims to be saved, and praise the Lord for that. If you're not saved, would you come meet the beloved tonight? If you are saved, are you listening? Someday he's coming and we'll be with him for eternity. Amen. But for now, he comes, and he wants to fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Don't be so self-concerned with yourself that you miss him. Don't be so comfortable that you put it off. Don't be so complacent with things that you know if you actually allowed his presence in your life, you'd have to change a bunch of things. Don't sit in service after service, half there and half not. My friend, sit up straight tonight. Listen to God tonight. Say, Lord, what will you have me to do? My ears, my heart, they're directed to you.
Amen.
And then, wait and see. What a wonderful, sweet life it is to walk with your beloved.
Amen.
To fellowship with your beloved. Because the more you get to know your beloved, the more you're going to create a desire in a lost world to want what you have. It's missions week. And praise God for everyone who's missionaries. But it has to start right here with us. It starts with us as individuals having a walk with God, saying, Lord, I'm listening.
Amen.
I will do what you want me to do. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the truth of your word tonight. Lord God, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, please don't let them go home tonight without having trusted in you as their Savior. Father, I pray for us as believers tonight that we'd not be too comfortable, that we'd not be half asleep, that God, every one of us would be engaged in what you would have us to do. God, please help our ears and our heart to be open. Help us to know and to know you so well that, Lord, we are a powerful witness for you. Lord, use us. Lord, whatever hearts you're knocking on tonight, I pray we'd answer and dwell with you. our beloved. I thank you, God, for being altogether lovely. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Rachel. Thank you. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a few moments and reflect on what we've heard this evening. Our hearts have been challenged by the preaching, and perhaps God is speaking to your heart tonight. Just want to give you, we're not going to have any music, just going to have a moment of quiet here for you to talk to the Lord. If you want to come and kneel at the front, you certainly are welcome to do that. But let's talk to the Lord about what he's spoken to our heart about tonight, and then we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Our Father, how I pray that you would help us to fall in love with Jesus again. Lord, we know that being involved in serving the Lord without a real love for Christ is a drudgery and just a duty. But Father, we know that you want us to be delighted in our service to you, because it needs to be motivated by love. And so I pray that you'd help us tonight to evaluate whether in fact we're in fellowship with you, whether in fact we've surrendered ourselves to do whatever you want us to do and go wherever you want us to go. And I pray that our hearts tonight would be tender to that which you've prodded our consciences with, Lord, and as you've spoken to our hearts, I pray that we would go from here and reflect upon how we should apply the scriptures tonight. Father, I thank you that my beloved is mine and I am his. I thank you for the salvation that I have through Jesus Christ. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help me to show that to the world. Thank you for meeting with us tonight, and we pray you'd dismiss us with your blessing. Watch over us as we go from this place, and we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Burke. Appreciate that. Thank you all for being here tonight. You're dismissed. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7:00.